Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. President Bush today called it disgraceful that the news media have disclosed a secret CIA Treasury Department program that tracks millions of financial records in search of terrorist suspects. The White House accused the New York Times of breaking a long tradition of keeping wartime secrets. During a brief question-and-answer session with reporters in the Roosevelt Room, the president said,
"If you want to figure out what the terrorists have done, you try to follow their money. And that's exactly what we're doing, and the fact that a newspaper disclosed it makes it harder to win this war on terror."
The Times and other newspapers, which also reported the story, have defended the effort, saying publication has served America's public interest. President Bush also today dismissed expectations of a significant U.S. troop drawdown starting in September. He said decisions on troop strength would be made by the new Iraqi government and based upon recommendations from General George Casey, the U.S. commander in Iraq. In Iraq today, bombs killed at least 40 people at markets in two Iraqi cities. The attacks, which injured dozens, came just hours after key Iraq government officials told the Associated Press that seven Sunni Arab insurgent groups have offered the government a conditional truce. Two Navy fighter planes collided over a remote military base in California today. One pilot was killed, another injured. The F-A-18 jets from Lemoore Naval Air Station were flying a training mission at the time. The injured pilot is reported in good condition. The port of Hueneme, northwest of Los Angeles, reopened following a search involving a possible terrorist threat written in the hold of a cargo ship. The port was reopened in the afternoon after a search turned up nothing. Supreme Court justices argued the fairness of capital punishment today as they wrapped up their last death penalty case of the term. According to the Associated Press, it was a surprisingly spirited conclusion to a case that had gotten little attention. The case before the Supreme Court was from Kansas, where just eight inmates are on death row and no one's been executed in 40 years. Four justices complained that the Kansas law could be used to execute people even when evidence justifying death is doubtful. They called the law obtuse by any moral or social measure. Justice Antonin Scalia fired back, though, that the four liberal justices were contributing to international, quote, sanctimonious criticism of America's death penalty, end quote. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Coming up on tonight's show, Rush Limbaugh is a what? The talk show host was detained at Palm Beach International Airport this evening on his way back from the Dominican Republic with what look a whole lot like illegal prescription drugs. We'll talk about hypocrisy and the GOP. Who's the party of cut and run? They are. Cut backroom deals and run at the mouth. We'll also be joined by Bob Fitrakis of the Free Press. He's got brand new information on what happened in Ohio, and we'll make some photographs available here for the first time of ballots that show how they did it. In our last hour, we'll talk with Mimi Kennedy about San Diego, where the GOP produced 10,000 absentee votes in the last 4 days to win. There are hearings planned for Tuesday and Wednesday. Cut and run. These are the guys who are all about cut and run. Run for office and cut all but your own voters out. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Give us a call on 866-303-2270. 866-303-AAR0. We're blogging and streaming at radionation.org. And I'm Laura Flanders. We'll be right back.
Comedian Rush Limbaugh has been caught by customs agents re-entering this country with a prescription drug prescribed to somebody else's name. Zach Mann of U.S. Customs Border Protection confirms that upon his return on a private plane to Florida from the Dominican Republic on Monday, Limbaugh was stopped at customs at Palm Beach Airport and the prescription medicine found on him. He was allowed to leave the airport with customs writing up a report. The office would not identify the prescription drug. It could be anything. It could easily be innocent. But given Mr. Limbaugh's past struggles with addictions to painkillers and the still open possible charge against him on doctor shopping for prescription drugs, it is news. No comment from comedian Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, and that is just how many months after he copped the addict's plea, the one where you say no jail time in exchange for cleaning up your act. Innocent. It's a word that would never have appeared in a news broadcast from Rush. But there's the news. Detained at Palm Beach International Airport this evening, the man who made his name vilifying any drug addict who was poor and weak. And, well, his favorite were black. Now, let me remember, Rush, you said three strikes and you're what? I'm Laura Flanders. You're listening to Air America Radio. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy. Have a good vacation, Mike. Thanks for having me here. So let's think about it. It's hard to keep up these days. Rush Limbaugh is at the very least a hypocrite. But there is so much hypocrisy out there. How do you keep track? 866-303-2270. We are streaming and blogging, and we've got some very interesting pictures of Ohio ballots that will be on our website. But we're using the Radio Nation site. That's the show I normally host weekends here on these Air America radio stations. You can find the blog at radionation.org, okay? Radionation.org, and you can write to me. That's Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at airamericaradio.com. Let's talk about cutting and running. Congressional Republicans spewed a hurricane of hot air last week, trashing Democrats on the Hill. Anyone, and let's face it, just about everyone wants troops out, but anyone who put forward any kind of plan in public to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. Anyone who spoke in public about such a thing, they are the cut-and-run Americans, they're the anti-patriots, they're the foes of democracy, said the right, and their allies in the White House. And then what do we find? Well, while they were out there trashing the Democrats, they were talking about troop withdrawal on a timetable they were writing up. Who's the party of cut-and-run here, people? Who's the party of cut-and-run? The Republicans seem to me to be the party of cut backroom deals and run for office or run their mouths. There's barely a soul out there who isn't for getting U.S. troops out. These people are watching the polls. There's just one difference. Some will talk about a plan publicly in a democratic kind of way, and some we found out simply won't. So in addition to Limbaugh, there are the congressional Republicans, the Bush-Cheney crime family, thank you, Mike, in the White House. They spent all this time vilifying anyone who would consider calling for troop withdrawals, and all the time they were cutting deals behind the public's back. The very guy that President Bush snuck out of the country late at night to embrace, Nouri al-Maliki, has a proposal to do just about exactly what the Democrats were talking about last week. And apparently in between hurling abuse at end the occupation anti-patriotic Democrats, White House officials last week, including the president, were receiving briefings from the top U.S. general in Iraq about how to do exactly that. General George Casey has a plan for drawing down troops in a carefully and conveniently staged way that would have very nice and tidy political implications. First reductions to take place before this fall's congressional elections, even bigger cuts before the presidential race in 08. Who's the party of cut and run? The GOP's the party of cut and run. Run their mouths, cut their deals, and then they cloak themselves in a flag. And this is what really gets me. They say it's all because they believe so deeply in something they call democracy. Well, if I were Mike, I would have a not very pleasant word for that. Democracy? These guys have a very particular idea about democracy. And frankly, it should be very familiar to anyone who remembers the Jim Crow South. Left to their own devices, the GOP, as we're coming to see, would run for office and cut out everyone but their own voters. Just today, George's favorite band, the Supremes, his hand-picked crony court, threw out the one law in the nation that set mandatory campaign spending limits, Vermont's. People worked for years for this thing, and the Supreme Court threw it out. They're going to stick with settled law, they say. The settled law that says that campaign spending is free speech. Well, all I can say is if they're so keen on settled law and they feel that way about the campaign spending decision of Buckley v. Vallejo, then I hope they feel the same way about Roe v. Wade. When you put that together with the story, the scenario, the scene we saw last week where you had the GOP, particularly the Southern Republicans, revolting, and they were revolting, on the Voting Rights Act, you get a good idea of what kind of elections we have in this country. Big money, Jim Crow, ballot stuffing. That's what we've got. And we're going to talk about it on tonight's program. Bob Fitrakis will be with us. He's with the Free Press in Ohio. He's got brand new information, not published before, on what happened last time Ohioans turned out to vote for a president. And he's got photographs of ballots that the Secretary of State in Ohio has the authority to destroy in just a matter of weeks. So we're going to be calling on you, Mike Malloy listeners, to wake up and take action. And that's exactly what's happening in California, too. In our last hour, we'll talk with Mimi Kennedy in San Diego, where, if the papers are to be believed, the GOP produced out of thin air 10,000 absentee votes in about 4 days, courtesy of people, party operatives, flown in from head office. Now, does that sound familiar to you people? Does that sound familiar? Let's send in some intimidating-looking guys. Let's send in some, I don't know, Tom DeLay staffers will do. They shut down the voting in Florida. Well, they apparently turned up 10,000 votes in a matter of hours in San Diego and helped to ensure that Duke Cunningham wouldn't go down to defeat. We'll talk about that. There are public hearings planned for Tuesday and Wednesday. The people in California, particularly the folks of the Progressive Democrats for America, they say it is past the point where we can get any kind of legal satisfaction because the Secretary of State isn't on our side. He certainly doesn't want any investigation. He's not going to be listening to the Progressive Democrats of America. So they're calling for citizen revolt. They're calling for citizen action in the streets, and they have citizen hearings planned for tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll hear all about it right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Before that, we'll take a quick break. The number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. What do you think? Limbaugh up on, once again detained with what look like illegal prescription drugs? Where does the hypocrisy stop? And this administration, what did you make of their defenses? What did you make of their defenses this week? That, it's not really a plan to take troops out. Our plan's not like their plan. Yeah, and it's Brian Bilbray, not Duke Cunningham. Looking for Duke Cunningham's seat. All right, I'm Laura Flanders. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Feed the people. Make them happy.
Same problem now.
Power to the people.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Randy Rhodes, and I think it's time we got serious about peace. Thousands of Iraqis and U.S. soldiers are suffering every day in a senseless war in Iraq. So Independence Day, hundreds of moms are going to put their own bodies on the line in a historic hunger strike against the war, organized by Code Pink. They're going to Washington, D.C. to eat their last meal on July 3rd at 5 o'clock in front of the White House. But you can fast wherever you are in your own community. All the info is at TroopsHomeFast.org. TroopsHomeFast.org.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Senator Boxer, what do you think about hearing these two reports this morning?
Oh, I will try to be as clear as I can. Number one, I would have to say that I'm not surprised that General Casey has put forward a timetable. Yes, that's what it is, a timetable for reducing our forces. It's, as I read it, about a three-year timetable. It's too long for me, but we'll set that aside. So now that means the only people who have fought us and fought us against the timetable, the only ones still saying there shouldn't be a timetable, really are the Republicans in the United States Senate and in the Congress. And I would say, like, to give you an exact quote, we had John McCain saying any redeployment of troops now would be a significant step toward the road to disaster. So here we have a situation where Democrats, 80% of us voted to say we ought to start reducing our troop presence there. And again, we got pummeled, and now it turns out we're in sync with General Casey.
That was California Senator Barbara Boxer speaking yesterday on CBS's Face the Nation, and she's right. The only people left arguing for troops to stay in Iraq indefinitely turn out to be congressional Republicans and the White House. And the White House all the while has been negotiating behind everyone's back. Now, maybe you were listening yesterday and Saturday. This is Laura Flanders. I'm the host of Radio Nation on weekends here on Air America Radio. And I said it there, but I'll say it again. There is nothing new about back channel, backroom, black budget politics in this country, and certainly nothing new about any of that when it comes to what our friend Mike would call the Bush-Cheney crime family. Don't forget, Nixon negotiated with the Vietnamese to make sure the war didn't end before he could run for office in 68. Republicans vilified Carter for not getting Iranian hostages released. And then we found out afterwards, according to a lot of reports of people that looked into it, that the CIA under George Bush's father was at the very same time arranging with the hostage takers to make sure that those 52 Americans would be released on the very day that Ronald Reagan took office and not a moment before. There were backroom deals with the Axis of Evil Iranians to acquire weapons for Contra death squads in the 80s. An operation, may I say it, also run out of the vice president, George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush's office. And the selling of chemical weapons components to Saddam Hussein right up to the day that Iraq invaded Kuwait, thanks in no small part to Donald Rumsfeld. The U.S. ambassador, Halil Zad, has been in on all of these Baghdad negotiations between insurgents in Iraq and the government. Would you be shocked to find out that the White House, with its eyes on the polls, had arranged for its clients, and let's face it, that's what they are in Iraq, to call on the U.S. to withdraw its troops just in time for the next election? I wouldn't. Cutting and running. They want to accuse the Democrats of that. But that's exactly what they're doing. Cutting deals, running at the mouth, running for office. And they have nothing else to run on except that the Democrats are wimps. Have they in 6 years come up with anything else to run on? And now they're in a fix. Every poll, every expert, the top general on the ground in Iraq says the violence is exacerbated, not helped by the U.S. troop presence. And all along, the White House has been saying, well, we'll do what the Iraqis say. The Iraqis want us out. 87% according to polls. And the numbers are getting like that right here. The number is 866-303-2270. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. Is there a better word for it? Let's take a vote. Or at least let's take a call. Monroe in New Orleans, welcome to the program. Hey, are you there? Mono?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Pay attention.
Got a little static just as soon as you said it, so I didn't know what you said. I apologize. Yeah, it is hypocrisy, and I really love your idea about people of America standing up and getting in the streets about this voting thing. Back in the last presidential election, when I went to the polls, I live in a primarily Republican area north of New Orleans called Mandeville, and when I went to the polls, I was given a provisional ballot and had to vote a paper ballot. And it didn't sit well with me when it happened. You know, I didn't feel right, but I quite grasped what was going on. And I guess I'm a little slow on the uptake, but, you know, finally figured out what happened is that, yeah, that vote just went in the garbage.
Right.
It never got counted.
Yeah, they only count them if they have to, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, there was an interesting article in the L.A. Times this weekend, one of those long L.A. Times investigations that purported to be more evidence of just how Republicans are better at controlling elections and turning out their voters than the other side. But some of the details in it are really pretty provocative. In 4 days, they got Republican activists to find 10,000 absentee voters. This in a place where in the California 50th, that race between Democrat Francine Busby and the Republican trying to take the place of Duke Cunningham, Brian Bilbray, in a place where the Democrats were ahead when it came to absentee voters. And they can finally suddenly come up with 10,000 absentee. I mean, I think you're onto something, Monroe. We all need to get smarter about our votes and more angry when it looks like we don't count. We'll come back with more after this. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. We'll be back. The number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. And there's a link to look at some very peculiar ballots at our website, radionation.org. Stay tuned.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Foreword, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Foreword reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Foreword also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Foreword. That's 800-858-5800.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
worst thing we could possibly do. General Casey is talking about how realistic it is to bring the troops home, and our timetable that we proposed last week had to do with bringing the troops home within 1 year. I mean, how is this different?
Good question. That was Senator Russ Feingold, Democrat of Wisconsin, speaking yesterday on Meet the Press about reports concerning troop withdrawals from Iraq. Good question. How is this plan different? I mean, what we're talking about here tonight, and I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy. You can give me a call on 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. We're blogging at a special site, a site we use for my weekend show, Radio Nation. You can reach it at radionation.org. We've got a very friendly and happy blog family that you can join up for the night to radionation.org. What we're talking about tonight is hypocrisy. You know, we had all of last week these Republicans railing at Democrats who had the guts to come forward and put their faces, names attached to public plans for public proposals for getting troops out of Iraq. And then it finds out, we find out that, well, what else is new? These people were saying one thing and doing something else. And it's a good night to talk about hypocrisy because the news on Rush Limbaugh, the talk show host, so loved by the right, there's news that he was detained for, not for a minute or two, but for 3.5 hours. At Palm Beach International Airport this afternoon, after authorities say they found a bottle of prescription drugs in his possession without a prescription. Now, we're going to be told it wasn't anything. It was just Viagra. It was just vitamin C. The point is, this is a guy who back in April copped a plea. And the plea was that he wouldn't serve any time for illegal drug possession because he was going to clean his act up. Now, anyone who's dealt with addiction in a family won't be surprised. Relapse is common. People struggle to fight this stuff. Kicking habits isn't easy. Anyone that's ever had one can tell us. The point is, this is a man to whom I would show compassion, so would you probably, but he never had any of that for those who were struggling with this kind of thing as he was coming up. I mean, this is a guy who says things like, too many whites are getting away with drug use. Too many whites are getting away with drug sales. Too many whites are getting away with trafficking in this stuff. He's obsessed with race. The answer to this isn't to start letting people out of jail because we're not putting others in jail. The answer is to go out and find the ones who are getting away with it, convict them, and send them upriver. We're becoming too tolerant of crime in this society, he says. Too tolerant. He was for tough sentencing laws. He was probably still is for 1.5 strikes and you're out. My Pet Scapegoat, George W. Bush's favorite book, the one I think he was really reading to those kids in Florida, My Pet Scapegoat. Rush showed how it was done. Rush showed how you can boost ratings by trashing your fellows, how you can rally mobs behind scapegoating the weak. That's how he got his ratings. He went from 1 minute to the next being a successful guy. Hardly. He was at this for 10 years before his show really took off. Rusty Limbaugh was originally his name. Someone said, Rusty's just not going to do it. Let's make it Rush. This is a guy who made his career trashing others and really led a path of destruction through this nation. We will advance our own personal profits and fortunes by driving Americans apart, by setting us at each other's throats. And that's exactly what the Rovites of the world have done ever since. Where would this administration be if it were not for trashing some other guys? Where is the proud principle on which they stand? Heck, my show yesterday, we had, alienated, frustrated, and fed up Republicans talking about starting an AA group, a recovery group, for Republicans who feel their party's taken off in a direction they can't abide, they can't support. It's not necessarily the conservative way to trash people just because they're weak and vulnerable. We may differ about a lot of things, but legit conservatives have principles that don't necessarily include destroying or denying the humanity of others. That's how Limbaugh got forward. That's how Limbaugh made his career. And his GOP cronies have been doing the same ever since. That's why I care that he should be detained in the airport in Palm Beach on his way back from Dominican Republic with prescription drugs for which he had no papers. That's why it's important. 866-303-2270 is the number to call. 866-303-AAR0. All right, we're going to talk on tonight's program about elections. This administration and their pals would like to run for office and cut out the voters, all the voters except for the ones they have, created at the last minute. We're going to talk about what happened in San Diego in that race. You've heard all about it, but there's news. The GOP apparently produced 10,000 absentee votes in the last 4 days of that Francine Busby race in California 50th. Was it just a function of superior election campaigning? I doubt it. And can the people of California rely on their Secretary of State to resolve the matter? They don't think so. There are citizen hearings planned for tomorrow and the next day. We're going to hear all about it. All right, let's take some calls. Let's hear from Len in New York. Hey, Len, welcome to the program. Glad to have you on the air.
How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah, you have one of the sexiest voices in broadcasting, I have
one
to say.
Of? Just one
you're,
of?
You're probably the female Cary Grant.
Go, Len. Go. What's your question?
Anyway, well, my point is that we really have to use the Republicans' words and just turn them around on a dime. You know, they love to come up. I mean, Rove sits around, comes up with genius things like cut and run. And there should have been already senators on the floor, turning this around. You know, turning it around and saying, like, the Republicans are for cutting taxes and running deficits. You know, they're for cutting your... They're for cutting your rights and running your lives.
There you go.
They're for cutting Social Security and running away with your money.
You want a job as a spin meister?
What's that? Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm looking for. I already have my spin is that we should, what I'd like to see is Mark Warner, Russ Feingold, and Joe Biden sit down together and agree that they should run for president, vice president, and secretary of state early so that they can get on TV.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a whole nother conversation. Do we have to have Joe Biden in the picture? Okay, well, whatever.
The point being is that we have to take over the conversation.
Well, I'm with you. What did you say, run-up deficits?
You want more?
What did you say, run-up deficits and cut down constitutional rights?
Cut taxes, run deficits.
Sounds right.
Cut government oversight and run an AOL buddy list of cronies.
Well, you and I are together on this. I've been talking about, cutting deals and running at the mouth and cutting voters out and running for office. We're all playing this game. The point is, are people getting it? I think they're getting it, and that's why these folks have to literally make up votes. I don't believe that they could get elected if they tried to do it in a legal way, and that's what we're going to hear about more tonight. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Lynn, and I hope you get that job working for those guys. They could do with your help, probably. Will's on the line in Miami. Hi, Will. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Laura. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right. I have a problem. I love your show, and I even subscribe to the Nation magazine, but, like, in the magazine, they have great articles, not particularly written for the average person. Their language is a little bit sophisticated. However, they don't have a listing on the magazine for, say, phone numbers that people can call, like senators or governors of, respective states. so that people can actually make their voice heard. And I'm finding the same thing is going on with your show. Why don't you guys give people phone numbers, suggestions as how to make their voices heard with regard to, say, you know, the voting fraud and, you know, all these other topics?
Well, I think we do a lot. I don't know what you're talking about. We're constantly putting out information of what people can do. I mean, I don't know where you're looking, and I'm not in charge of The Nation magazine, but, gee, I feel like we're giving out phone numbers and websites and, well, we're giving people introductions half the time to groups they've never heard of that can help them do exactly that. Look, you're doing a great job, and I applaud you for it. And the more that we can get out the information, the better. I'll do everything I can to help.
Cool.
All right, good.
So, hello?
Yep. Thanks, Will. We'll do it. We are doing it. I don't know what he means. All right. Rick's on the line in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program. Then we got to take a break.
Hi, thanks. What's your name, by the way?
Laura. Laura Flanders. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy.
Yeah, hi, Laura. I just wanted to, I'll just make it quick here. You know, this administration doesn't fly the American flag. They fly a pirate's flag. This administration doesn't have the interest of the American people at heart. They have the interest of their businesses at heart.
In their own pocketbook.
And it's about time people wake up to the obvious. And there's a lot of people being killed. There's been a lot of deception from this administration. They are terrorists themselves. You know, there's terrorists in the world, for sure. But we also have, they talk about homegrown terrorists. We have them in the White House. And it's about time people wake up and understand who they are, who they represent, and the money they represent. Okay?
Well, we're getting very clear.
Are you with me on that?
I'm with you, Rick. I can understand it. Thanks. Don't shout in my ear. Thanks. We're going to talk more about hypocrisy and about who this administration is actually for. And what I want to hear from you is what you are willing to do about it. I'm Laura Flanders. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy. You're listening to Air America Radio. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
The White House has done a terrible job of running the fight against terrorism, a terrible job in Iraq, but they've done a brilliant job of intimidating Democrats. Somehow Democrats are afraid to say, look, not only was this a mistake, but it continues to be a mistake, and it's being run in a mistaken way, and I cannot understand why the structure of the Democratic Party, the consultants that are here in Washington, constantly advise Democrats not to take a strong stand.
That was Russ Feingold speaking yesterday on Meet the Press. He's really coming out. It was gay pride in lots of parts of the country yesterday. And here's the guy coming out not only with his own position, long held on the war in Iraq, but on the consultants in the Democratic Party that constantly advise Democrats to be quiet and follow the polls. Good on you, Russ. You know, in the last segment of the program, I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy. A caller called in annoyed about the power of money in politics and what this administration stands for. And I can only tell you, the news on that front is nothing but, well, rotten. The Supreme Court today, awful decision. Let down every person in this country who actually cares about making people more important than profits and money in elections. They struck down a tiny little state, Vermont's campaign finance law. The one law in the nation that did a radical thing about 9 years ago, challenging a quarter of a century of law that basically said spending money in campaigns is free speech. In the 70s, a whole lot of spending limits that came in after Watergate were struck down by the Supreme Court in a decision called Buckley v. Vallejo. Vermont passed a mandatory campaign spending limits law that challenged that precedent. Vermont likes, you know, town meetings. Vermont likes small town democracy. It's got a citizen legislature, no paid legislative staffers. It's a little place. So it set spending limits, mandatory spending limits. You couldn't spend more than $300,000 to run for governor. You couldn't spend more than $45,000 for other state offices. They set limits that the Supreme Court today just threw out. Threw out. After all these years of work by Vermonters trying to move this country forward, the court sided with people and the interests that have the money to spend and against real voters with bodies, not offices. And opinions, not just cash. It's a bad day for the court, I'll tell you, and it is a bad day for our elections. You had this today. Money speaks louder than organizing. Money speaks louder than the will of the people. And Bush's crony court came down on the side of the big donors and their supposed free rights, free speech rights. And last week you had the Southern state Republicans bailing on the Voting Rights Act and saying, well, we're not going to vote for an extension of the Voting Rights Act if we have to, I don't know, be subject to federal oversight just because we had segregation in our pasts. They said, we'll support the Voting Rights Act extension if we can have a few little exceptions. Like, we don't want to have the federal oversight, and we don't want radical things like multilingual ballots to be made available. These people don't want minorities and low-income people and new voters to vote in elections. And they certainly don't want the federal government having any ability to step in to enforce equal rights. They want to steal elections, and this is exactly how they do it. They make it difficult to register. They confuse people. They send a message that there's some huge hurdle you have to leap over in a single bound if you want to vote. And they turn people off and wear people down. And then they turn around and say, oh, those voters, they're just apathetic. What's astounding about what happened last week and again what's happening today is this is happening in plain sight. We're not even talking about the backroom deals and the black budget paying for occupation. We're not even talking about the in-private, no-bid contracts to do nothing for the people of the Gulf. This stuff is playing out in plain sight. In the Supreme Court today, throwing out Vermont's mandatory spending limits law, and yesterday in the House, with the Georgia House Republicans basically saying we want Jim Crow back. It's the way they disenfranchise voters, and it's exactly the kind of local control they like best. They would just like to roll the clock back to before there was a civil rights movement, to before there was a black power movement, before there was a women's vote. Well, they're going to have them take away women's votes next. Oh, well, I shouldn't speak too soon, should I? I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Quickly, some calls. Bill in Massachusetts. Hey, Bill, thanks for hanging in there. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi, Laura. Just want to say you and Mike Malloy are my two favorite people on the radio.
Thank you.
I gave up listening, watching the news on TV because I just couldn't stand the way it was so, I don't know, they were afraid to speak anything that was against the Republicans. But I just think that this election in San Diego needs to be watched, what happened, because I think if it is true that they shipped in these ballots at the last minute and tilted the election, then we should just, the Democrats should just shut down the Senate. I mean, what's the point in having a government if you're going to just have elections stolen one after another?
Well, you know what the people are saying out there in California, and we're going to hear from Mimi Kennedy of Progressive Democrats of America later tonight. They're saying, you know, we can't wait for politicians to do this for us. We can't wait for our own politicians in this state, and we certainly can't wait for people in Washington. They are holding meetings tomorrow and the next day. We'll hear all about it. And they're saying this is driving them crazy. They are doing all the legal work to turn out voters, and then at the last minute when they're ahead, some posse comes out from D.C. and turns up 10,000 absentee voters at the very last minute in what, gated communities? You prove to me how you do that legally. Everybody was watching that Brian Bilbray versus Francine Busby race. They had everything riding on a Busby defeat. And that's exactly what they got, and there are questions about it today. And there are questions we will raise in the last hour of this program. They need your help. We need your help. So don't go away. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in a whole lot more. And the latest from Ohio with Bob Fitrakis and some very dubious-looking ballots. Next, right after the news headlines.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Randy Rhodes, and I think it's time we got serious about peace. Thousands of Iraqis and U.S. soldiers are suffering every day in a senseless war in Iraq. So Independence Day, hundreds of moms are going to put their own bodies on the line in a historic hunger strike against the war, organized by Code Pink. They're going to Washington, D.C. to eat their last meal on July 3rd at 5 o'clock in front of the White House. But you can fast wherever you are in your own community. All the info is at TroopsHomeFast.org. TroopsHomeFast.org.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Did you know that some ants actually prefer living in your home? That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. It stops ants cold on the outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, ant block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, right down to the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
We'll be right back.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. President Bush today downplayed those reports that troops could start withdrawing from Iraq in September. He says those decisions depend on Iraq's progress, and Bush says his top man in Iraq, General George Casey, has told him that whatever he decides, it'll be aimed toward achieving victory.
In terms of our troop presence there, that decision will be made by General Casey as well as the sovereign government of Iraq based upon conditions on the ground.
However, Bush's spokesman says a reduction of two combat brigades is among the options being considered, and Senate Democrats say that sure sounds like what they've proposed. Minority Leader Harry Reid urged his Senate colleagues to note just how similar General Casey's reported plan is to the plan Senate Democrats offered last week. That plan was denounced and rejected by Senate Republicans. Reid sees the GOP playing politics.
We don't need a September or October surprise with the President, Republicans proclaiming victory and announcing troop redeployments just in time for the midterm elections. We need a nonpartisan approach that provides the Iraqis and our troops with the best chance for success now.
In Iraq today, dozens were dead and wounded in a series of bombings. At least 20 people were killed, 30 more wounded in what police described as a bicycle bombing in a city northeast of Baghdad. That was the second explosion of the day, the second big one. Just a short time earlier, 15 people died and 56 were hurt when a bomb blew up at a crowded market south of Baghdad. The Senate today opened debate on a proposed constitutional amendment that would ban the desecration of the American flag. Supporters and opponents alike say the amendment is within one vote of being sent to the states for ratification. The House approved the amendment last year. Opponents say the flag amendment would violate the First Amendment's free speech protections, which were upheld by the Supreme Court in 1990. Some Democrats say it is the latest example of the Republican majority trying to score points in the midterm elections. And the Senate Judiciary Committee is opening hearings this week into signing statements. They've become the White House's favorite tool for overriding Congress in the name of wartime national security. President Bush has done it with 750 statutes passed by Congress, far more than any other president. The signing statements give him the ability to not enforce the new law. The White House doesn't dispute the number, but points out Bush is far from the nation's first chief executive to issue signing statements. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
back. I'm Laura Flanders. What sort of majestic music for Mike Malloy. Well, I'll just have to, you know, borrow it. Or it will just have to put up with me. Sounds like the king should enter with music like that. Anyway, you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike, and thank you, Mike. I'm usually the host weekends here on Air America Radio of Radio Nation. You can join our blog tonight at that Radio Nation site. It's radionation.org, and there are a lot of great people blogging, as there always are on a Radio Nation night. People who've been in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, this weekend, looking at the folks who still need help. Absolutely. YB Normal says, you know, New Orleans gets the attention, but there are so many more who need help. Don't get me wrong. New Orleans is still far from recovered or even recovering. But these people, namely the people down there around Venice and Boothville, Louisiana, they get very short shrift. And the Rita victims, you're absolutely right. Thanks for the note. We haven't forgotten about what's happening down the Gulf. And we're going to continue to keep our focus there, particularly as hurricane season heats up. It's not like anybody at Homeland Security has a plan, is it? It's just like their stay the course strategy in Iraq. What's the course? I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy. The number to call is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. It was a bad day for democracy today, and that's all I can say. I mean, these folks talk about cut and run. I think they'd like to just run elections with all the voters cut out. The Supreme Court today threw out Vermont's spending limits law. It was a law that the people passed, the people wanted. They wanted to cap spending on statewide office. They wanted to establish low limits for contributions to any race. The Supreme Court threw it all out. They said the limits were too low. This is for a state of some 600,000 people. They knew what they wanted. And the Supreme Court said, well, to hell with that. That kind of democracy, the kind of common sense, small scale, people driven democracy, isn't the kind they like. They like the big money, big media, easy to control democracy. The folks on this court, the same court that gave Bush the presidency, of course, in 2000, sided with the big money once again tonight. They also sided, by the way, with the Christian right. Top lawyer for the other side was the James Bopp guy who represents the Christian Coalition. So you can see how things are playing out. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, new information continues to come out about vote stealing, vote suppression, ballot stuffing in Ohio. And the only places covered in our so-called newspaper of record, namely the New York Times, is in a style section story about our very own Robert Kennedy, where they covered his look in the Rolling Stone magazine at what happened in Ohio as if it was just like another recreational activity like bowling. Ah, isn't it funny what some people do when they've got time off? Some go skiing, some go, you know, windsurfing, some go bowling, and others, I don't know, count votes. Somebody who put this story front and center from the beginning and was a regular guest on our program weekends here on Air America is our next guest. He's calling in from his home in Columbus, Ohio. He's Bob Fitrakis. He has been part of a team of investigative reporters and lawyers who've been looking into exactly what Republicans in Ohio did in 2004 ever since the night of the vote. Their results will not necessarily surprise you. I suspect they will outrage you. Nearly 130,000 ballots, they say, were never and never will be counted, and they're just weeks away from being destroyed. We've put some ballots, by the way, up on our website. You can click at radionation.org and look at some of these very weird ballots yourself. But our guest will explain, first of all, what it is you're looking at. Bob, welcome to the program. Glad to have you. Oh, we lost Bob. I'm sorry. We'll get him back. We'll get him back. You know, it's all part of the same picture. You've got the Supreme Court saying money, not people. Profits, not people. We want to defend campaign spending by corporations as free speech, but the free speech of voters passing laws in their own states, well, that's too much. that will throw out. The court struck down Vermont's campaign spending laws. And you have Southern Republicans last week in the House defending their opposition to the renewal of the National Voting Rights Act. What do you call that? Opposed to renewing the Voting Rights Act? That's like actually endorsing Jim Crow. If you get rid of all the double negatives, it's for each state being able to do whatever they like, except if they're Vermont. So let me get this straight. Southern states, well, they don't want to be subject to any kind of federal scrutiny because they have states' rights. They don't want some federal FBI agents coming in and saying, oh, you're discriminating against black people. That would be violating their local control. But Vermonters who organize signatures and get laws passed that actually set low campaign contribution limits, that's not the kind of local control the court likes. They threw that out today. All right, well, while we try to get Bob Fitrakis back on, and the other part of this picture is how do we make elections crazy enough that people can't participate or feel they can't? Bob Fitrakis will join us in just a sec. Let me take some calls in a minute. All right, here you go. Let's go with, where is he? Jay in Miami. Jay, you there? Welcome to the program. Let me bring you up. There you go, Jay.
Thank you, Laura. It's good being able to talk to you. I've heard your program weekends when I could, and I really like Mike and his vehemence against the Bush crime family and its ancillary enforcement arm of the Republican Party, or should I say the neo-fascist Republican Party. Anyway, as Kent Jones says, vigilance, well, I was at the public bus station, and I saw somebody that just didn't fit there, and he had petitions, or what it was, registration, voter registration things, that he was trying to get people to sign. And he just wasn't dressed, you know, the part, except for maybe the $10 shirt. Everything was above 40, you know, $80 to $90 shoes, that kind of thing. Hmm. So I approached him and started talking with him, and I asked him, because I knew people that did this 2 years ago before the election, and I asked him how much they were paying him. He said $1. Well, that's kind of strange, because 2 years ago they were getting $2 to do that.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I
probably didn't happen to ask him if he has a job in Tom DeLay's ex-office, did you?
Probably. Might even be Alito or who's the UN thing?
Well, you could have Josh Bolton's office. That would
Bolton, exactly.
That's right. Bolton went down to Florida to try to shut down, successfully shut down the recount there.
Exactly. These people are dirty.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're on the lookout there, Jay. So what happened next? You asked him how much he was getting paid. What happened after that?
Okay. Well, then I said, well, you know, that's the Republicans for you. They're bringing the price of everything down. I mentioned that I knew what they were getting before. So he started getting a little bit, you know, edgy about that time. And I said, you know, you got to watch out because, you know, the Republicans are doing this and throwing away the Democrats' registrations. He said, well, that's against the law. I said, well, unfortunately, the only time it's been enforced is in Vermont, where they tried to shut down the drive to bring in the voters. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he said, well, I said, well, you know, you got to watch out. This neo-fascist Republican Party, the way it is right now, it's, you know, we had the Red Scare in the 50s and the 60s, and now we have the terrorists from the Mideast. I'm saying to them, this neo-fascist Republican Party today is more of a danger to America and the Constitution than either of those factions.
So he got quieter and quieter and quieter, right?
No, no, no. At that time, he left.
He left. He got so quiet, he actually left the bus that got him. Uh-huh. Well, that makes
exactly.
Well,
well,
you know,
I just thought I'd report that so that people, if they find somebody like this and they can sign up with them, check, you know, with the voter registration.
Right. I mean, we know the stories from Reno, Nevada, right, where they had registrars like that who were out there. I don't know how much they were getting paid, but they were out there gathering votes. And then they were actually captured on tape ripping up the registrations of those who had registered as Democrats. So, you know, people think that we're conspiratorial and crazy. This stuff's on tape. Thanks for the call, Jay. I appreciate it. We'll be back. And I think we've got Bob Fitrakis back, and we'll hear the latest from Ohio. This is not, we're not going to let this die, people. We are not giving up here on our right to have a vote that actually gets counted and gets counted by the guy or woman we cast it for. I'm Laura Flanders. Aye, what we're at, where we have come to. Sitting in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
We're back. You're listening to Air America Radio, the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Laura Flanders, sitting in for Mike. In our next hour, we're going to talk about some town hall meetings that are taking place in L.A. and San Diego tomorrow and the next day. They are to rally public attention to election violations in the Busby-Bilbray race in the 50th Congressional District there. Marcy Winograd will be there. Mimi Kennedy will be there. Brad Friedman of Bradblog will be there. We're going to have Mimi Kennedy, the chair of Progressive Democrats of America, right with us on the program in the next hour. There is a project, velvetrevolution.us, that is not going to drop questions about what happened in California's 50th. You had ballots taken home by poll workers overnight. You had 10,000 absentee ballots, according to the LA Times, just show up for Republicans in a matter of days. The last minute in that race, there are a lot of questions. And the reason people take them so seriously is because this isn't the first story. All eyes on a race, a lot riding on it. A lot of shady stuff went down. It wouldn't be the first time. We saw it in Florida, and we saw it in Ohio in 04. Bob Fitrakis is an investigative reporter, lawyer, editor, and publisher of freepress.org. He's been on this story from the beginning, and he was part of the team that has been investigating just what happened in that Ohio race. Bob, I'm glad we got you back on the air. Sorry about your phone service up there.
Yeah, occasionally we have these problems.
Well, you see, if you had better government. So tell us.
I'm not sure it's not the government on occasion.
Well, maybe they know you're calling into the Mike Malloy Show, and whoops, all the phones went out. Well, anyway, listen quickly. Tell us what's the latest. A lot of people listening have read the Robert Kennedy article that appeared in Rolling Stones, but a lot haven't. Bring us up to date.
Well, part of reading the Bobby Kennedy article, of course, were the response by Salon, Mr. Manju over there, and others. But a lot of what they say is that we can't take this type of analysis from Mr. Kennedy seriously because we know the numbers make sense. But what we did last week, we went to Miami County, which is just north of Dayton, a rural county. And we went to Troy, Ohio, and for the first time, we got unfettered access. That is, the law was obeyed. We went into the warehouse, but interestingly, right before...
Wait a minute, you
we went
into the warehouse where the ballots were kept?
Oh, yeah, from the 04 election. For the first time, they allowed us into a warehouse to look at ballots without, restricting our use or what we could see. But right before we went in, Steve Quillen, who's the... board director up there and was in 04, an interesting guy, former military intelligence officer, leans over and says, you guys are right. Those weren't the right numbers on the turnout. And he hands us a whole new sheet of turnouts that are more plausible. Now, he says, of course, well, it didn't really affect the actual vote of Kerry and Bush, so we're not going to amend them with Secretary of State, but, there really wasn't a 98.55% voter turnout in Concord Southwest. So all along, we've been saying in 19 counties that are showing, 85% of the vote or more, up until counties showing 94% of the vote or 98.55%, meaning 679 out of 689 people voted, no absentees, no provisionals, we said that these were false turnout numbers. And, of course, people often on the left, like Salon, have rushed in and said, no, they're not. Now, at the moment we get access, that is, we begin to look at the actual poll books, and they come up with all new numbers and say, you guys are right. Because when we went through the poll books, we found out there wasn't a 679 voter turnout in one county. It was actually 537. And in fact, one county where they were claiming a 94% voter turnout, it turned out to be about 52%.
Now, wait a minute. So you got two things here. You're making two points. One is that all this talk about, the numbers aren't with the Bobby Kennedys. The numbers are very clear. One point is the numbers are not clear. But you have local poll workers saying, we're not going to go to the trouble of changing the results because the votes are over and done with. If they would register the changes, people's criticism would be taken more seriously. That's one point. And then the other point is that it's, A, taking you this much time to get access to these ballots. And finally, I want you to be very clear. When they say these changes, well, they're just sort of slip-ups, how do they explain them? And how do they get away with saying it wouldn't have had any effect on the final result?
Well, the stuff that they say, you know, if, yeah, I'm a cynical veteran investigative reporter, and I've won about a dozen awards for investigative reporting, but the stories I hear, I mean, I feel like burst out laughing or crying. They'll say stuff, well, here's what happened. The local Boy Scouts and the Nazarene youth accidentally took 20% of the ballots we held back for an emergency. So first the question is, why are you holding the ballots back from the precincts they belong in for an emergency? You know, you're supposed to be a huge voter turnout. And they say, we think they gave them to the wrong precincts.
Wait, so their excuse is we're going to blame the Boy Scouts. Nice.
Right.
I'm just waiting for one of these guys to come up and say, you know, the dog ate my homework. We'll get more from Bob Fitrakis, and if you want to see some of these ballots, we'll understand, we'll come to understand why it's important what you're looking at. Bob's going to take us through, but you can click on our website, radionation.org, and take a look at the ballots for yourself. Bob Fitrakis is on the line from freepress.org. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm Randy Rhodes, and I think it's time we got serious about peace. Thousands of Iraqis and U.S. soldiers are suffering every day in a senseless war in Iraq. So Independence Day, hundreds of moms are going to put their own bodies on the line in a historic hunger strike against the war, organized by Code Pink. They're going to Washington, D.C. to eat their last meal on July 3rd at 5 o'clock in front of the White House. But you can fast wherever you are in your own community. All the info is at TroopsHomeFast.org. TroopsHomeFast.org.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Except sometimes it isn't. I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy, but I bet conservatives hate me too, at least a bit. Maybe I'm just in their kind of dislike a lot category. I don't know. Anyway, you can give me a call, 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We're talking about elections and how, when it comes to democracy, it looks as if the GOP in this White House has a very clear way and only one clear way, ultimately, to end the day on an election night with more votes. The way they do it is by, well, either making it impossible for everybody to vote, or, and in most cases, and mess with the results. We're talking about Ohio. We're talking about California. In the next hour, we'll talk about that Francine Busby race, and we'll find out a little bit more about how Californians are responding to what looks like, again, fraud there. In this hour, we're talking with Bob Fitrakis, who is calling in from freepress.org in Columbus. He's been looking at evidence of ballot box stuffing. We finally got, Bob finally got to look at the actual ballots. And they didn't match the computer records. And they didn't match the final registered results. What they found, looking at the ballots, and they're the first people that have been able to do this. This is the first time they've had the chance. Don't forget, all the ballots were never counted in Ohio. They just selected a few precincts to count and then called the statewide recount off. When they looked at the ballots, what they saw suggested stuffing. How? Well, that's how we'll find out. Bob, how? How did what you see, or what you saw there in the warehouse and took photographs of, and we've got links, by the way, people at the website, radionation.org, that's radionation.org, the name of the show I usually host weekends. When you looked at those ballots, why did what you saw there suggest to you ballot stuffing?
Well, the clearest case was done by Dr. Richard Hayes Phillips, who writes for the Free Press, who is in Delaware County. And again, we're taking pictures of this stuff, and we're videoing it where they'll allow us to have cameras in. But at the end of the day, you know, when they unpack the first time anyone's ever looked at these ballots, what we found is in one precinct at the end of the day, there were 359 straight votes for Bush, which is statistically impossible, you know, in a district that's going 70 to 30 for Kerry. There's no way.
So you mean suddenly 359 votes all for Bush, nobody in that 359 voting any other way?
No.
All in a row.
The day. Yep, and another precinct with over 200. And what Richard and, you know, Free Press and other volunteers, voting rights activists, found in Butler County is a similar run at the beginning of the day from the few precincts they were allowed to look at, 51 straight votes for Bush. Which Dr. Phillips and I have been putting forth a new analysis, as he suggests, is they didn't zero the machines out, they 50'd them out, and it looks like it's in favor of Mr. Bush. Now, what's interesting, because the woman who's there at the Board of Election, highly competent, cooperative, all the tallies match, she did volunteer to the crew down there observing that uninvited technicians from ES&S came in that morning and reset all the tabulators in Butler County.
ES&S being the voting machine manufacturers.
Sure.
So they could have reset them to just give a little bit of a 50-point start to the Bush crew.
What do you want with that?
No, that's what you're suggesting. They could have reset those machines to leave it with a 50% advantage for the...
Sure. Yeah, you could have easily set it for Kerry at minus 25, Bush at minus at plus 25, or for 50 straight. In fact, this is used to be done in the daily machines in Chicago and in Detroit and in certain cities in Florida, like Miami, is that they used to do some of this stuff with the lever machines. This is old-fashioned ballot stuffing, where you simply, unless you eyeball the actual ballot, everything looks the same, right? Because it's the same number of ballots cast. You're simply taking you're in every precinct. Say you've got in the county 500 precincts. You're just giving a 50 vote lead to one candidate over the other.
Mm. Now, looking at these ballots that you've done us the favor of taking photographs of and posting up on a website, and we have links to at our site, RadioNation.org, some of them, I see, have only one punch mark.
Sure.
Now, that means the person only voted for president, didn't participate in any other race?
No, and surprisingly, in the few precincts they allowed us in Warren County, that one punch is always for Bush. And in some cases, they use the duplicate card, which isn't really supposed to be voted. It's an identifier card to put the precincts around. That's what the election officials tell us. So why someone would take a pink header identifying duplicate ballot and one punch it for Bush, and why anyone would count it, I think is almost a question for criminal investigation.
Well, can there be a criminal investigation into any of this?
There could be, but we've been talking with various law enforcement officials at different levels of government, from federal to local, and many of them argue what really needs to be done is what we're actually doing, is getting in and preserving the evidence. I would really like a campaign where all of these ballots in Ohio are preserved by the Ohio Historical Society or the state library, and they're actually counted. Because what you find in Miami County when you begin to count these is in certain precincts they double counted Bush's votes as absentee votes. In other areas is they subtracted 10 from Kerry, added 20 or so to Bush. In another area, they added 10 to Kerry and 40 to Bush, almost like it's a ratio. So we're in a situation where not one precinct we've counted in Miami County actually matches what is the official vote result. It's a hugely, hugely inflated vote for Mr. Bush. And remember, this county came in at 1:43 in the morning. Suddenly 19,000 votes appeared out of nowhere after 100% of the votes were in, and it pushed a lot of these precincts up into the high 80s and 90 range. It's as if somebody hacked the vote there. At least that was Dr. Richard Hayes Phillips' conclusion.
Let's take a couple of calls. We've got some calls for Bob Fitrakis. Ohio Elections, Peggy in Goose Creek, South Carolina. Welcome to the program, Peggy.
Hi, Laura.
one of those Air America women.
Excuse me.
Hi,
Bob.
Hi.
From the time I was almost a year old until the time I was almost 18, I grew up, I lived in Concord, Southwest.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there was never, ever, even in, you know, even in the late 50s, early 60s, when voter turnout was far higher than it is now, was there ever a 98% voter turnout?
Yeah, rounding up to 99 at 98.5.
Right, because
you're skeptical of this, are you?
Yeah, because, okay, they said in 2004 that would have meant that only 10 people stayed home from the poll, stayed home and didn't vote.
I bet you could find more than 10 just driving around the neighborhood.
I mean, there would have been more than 10 in my neighborhood.
I was going to say.
That didn't vote for whatever reason.
Well, Bob, haven't you been out actually trying to find people that didn't vote?
Sure. Early on, and this has always disturbed me, early on we sent a crew down there to canvass, and within a few hours we found 25 people who said they didn't vote, and we found another 10 who said they voted absentee. So we always wondered why anyone, in fact, Vanity Fair referred to these as Saddam Hussein numbers in Concord Southwest, why anyone in America would believe that 679 out of 689 people voted in this area with no absentees and no provisionals is beyond me.
Right. Because that precinct is made up predominantly of farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, farmers find it very difficult to get away.
And when they do go to vote, they don't typically vote only for the president.
Right.
But let me ask you a question, Peggy.
Because
did you ever, Peggy,
area,
one sec, did you ever see a situation where either first thing in the morning or the last thing at night, you had a couple of hundred voters, all Republican, all lined up to vote at once?
That's No, I never saw that. Well, like I said, I wasn't eligible to vote at the time, but my parents voted.
And they would have noticed if there
they would have noticed.
350 yeah. people all vote in the same way. Well, maybe they wouldn't have noticed, but you kind of would notice, wouldn't you?
You
if
would.
Everybody
you
was,
would.
Because, you know, your neighbors you knew were Republicans?
You know, that polling place, and I can't remember whether it changed during the time I was a kid.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Peggy. Appreciate it. A little reality check there from Concord Southwest there in Ohio. One more thing, Bob, and then we're going to take a quick break. One of the ballots, or some of the ballots that we have links to on our website, come from Warren County. Now, mm-hmm. that's the place I'm reminded that had the Homeland Security alert on election night. What does that mean we're finding out now that we never found out before?
Well, it means they called a level 10, which is the highest Homeland Security alert. Now, this was called by the election officials, not the FBI, which says there was no alert needed, or the Office of Homeland Security. Local officials in the county called this alert, and then they diverted the ballots because they shut down a lot of the areas by the Board of Election, and they put them under a tent, which was too small. So they took them to an unauthorized warehouse, which was under control of a local Republican operative. And then you get the strange one punch, which people can see on your website, where these were one punched for Bush. Another oddity in these ballots is we find right around Bush, where he was 8 on some of these ballots, is you'll find a 7 or a 9 punched, which can only mean one thing. That is, these were punched off a machine. Because there's actually a guard on the machine, which means you can't punch an odd number. The presidential punches were 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and they rotated. What else it means, which is really, really brilliant because of ballot rotation in Ohio, is that if you take those Kerry 4 ballots and move it to a different precinct where Bush is 4, Kerry votes become Bush votes. And this would explain these strange anomalies where people are voting Democratic ballots, except for the president, where they're voting for gay marriage and they're voting for Bush, or they're voting for a retired black municipal judge from Cleveland and they're voting for Bush.
So this goes back to the problems we run into when every precinct is allowed to design its ballots differently, to operate the systems differently. Mm-hmm. You could literally have a candidate appearing at different places on the ballot, line 4 in one case, line 7 in another,
sure.
and you could mess with those ballots, run them in different machines, and end up with opposite results. We'll carry on the conversation with Bob Petraeus when we come back. I really urge you to take a look at these ballots. It'll make everything just that little bit clearer for you. That's at radionation.org. It takes a moment to download, but you'll see it. Radionation.org. I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy. Whole lot more when we come back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
Thank you.
We're back to listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. I'm Laura Flanders. And looking ahead to the election next fall, a whole lot of people are working hard to uncover what actually happened the last time around. In 2004, for example, in Ohio, our guest is the person who, along with Reverend Jesse Jackson, convinced Ohio Democratic Congressman Stephanie Tubbs Jones and California Senator Barbara Boxer to challenge Ohio's 04 Electoral College votes back in January of 05, and that was a good day, wasn't it? But ever since, the story continues and continues to get, well, more suspicious and more suspicious. Most recently, our guest, Bob Fitrakis, has actually had a chance to look at the ballots, some of them being seen for the very first time there in Ohio. What he was just saying before the break was that, these ballots, the names on the ballots, the names of the candidates rotate so that nobody gets, top line billing advantage, if you will. In the one county that we've got the picture of the ballot posted on our website from, on the ballot from Warren County, they declared a security alert, number 10 Homeland Security alert. The FBI said there was no such thing. They took the ballots, and because the ballots themselves were designed in such a way that the precincts didn't set off alerts, they were able to put the ballots from other precincts through machines there in Warren and get votes that had been cast for Kerry to count for Bush. So you ended up with things like 10,500 people voting for Bush and also for gay marriage. 13,500 people voting for Bush and also for a liberal black judge from across the state who had no money. At the same time, you've got those votes being subtracted from Kerry, given to Bush, that's thousands of votes lost. And it's never been caught until this moment. Bob, we've got a few people on the line who want to talk to you. Let's quickly bring on Michelle in San Antonio, Texas. Michelle, welcome.
Hey. It's great you're filling in for Mike. Totally appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I think you're talking about this in the next segment, but I'm an absentee voter from California. And the CA50 race, I saw a little bit of action on this, but the night before the election, all those Diebold machines went home with precinct practice.
Right, that's right. Stay right there, Michelle. I want to let Bob wrap up here, and we are going to get to that next segment, okay? So don't go away.
Sure.
Stay right there. We'll come back to you. Bob, let you give a chance to wrap up. We're going to talk about California next, but I want you to draw the connections between what happened in Ohio and what is suspected of having happened in California's 50th. Are there links?
Oh, sure, and I think the man who understands that about as well as anyone is the architect of the modern Republican Party, Kevin Phillips, who wrote American Dynasty. In that book, although people don't like in the mainstream media to quote it much, is he says the Bush family is incapable of running an election without a CIA manual. That a lot of this stuff, so-called benign operations, a lot of this ballot stuffing, old-fashioned voter suppression is what the U.S. practiced during the Cold War in the Third World. And what I'm thinking is you're seeing nothing more than these tactics being brought home. Remember in 2005 in Claremont County when Paul Hackett, the Fallujah vet, was challenging the U.S. in Iraq, is that he was ahead by a few hundred votes, and lo and behold, the machine breaks down. Now, the people I talk to, including the Miami County Republican Board of Direction, laughs. Says you just spray a little canned air in there, get a hair dryer. I've never had an OptiScan machine go down. But suddenly it goes down, and then it comes back up, and they have to hand count, and they wait. And, of course, Representative Schmidt wins. We have non-transparent elections. That's the reality. We have outsourced this to private, proprietary corporations that are partisan to the Republican Party and who secretly count these ballots. And you don't need thousands of people on these conspiracies. All you need is a few technicians for these partisan companies to come into Butler County and reset the tabulators, to come into areas and set 50, ballots for Bush. And that is what is happening.
That's all it takes. Bob, thank you for your work. Freepress.org. People can go for more information. We'll stay in touch with this story, stay on top of this story. And when we come back, we'll pick up where Michelle left off. We'll talk about what happened in California's 50th. There are public hearings that need your support tomorrow and the next day. Are you going to leave sorting this out to somebody else? I hope not. I'm Laura Flanders. You're listening to Air America Radio. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Billionaire Warren Buffett's wealth is second only to that of Microsoft's Bill Gates. And he has now decided to give the bulk of that wealth to the charity run by Gates and his wife, Melinda. Patty Lane has more on the story.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was started in 2000, and up until now, all the money donated came from the Microsoft co-founder and his wife. Melinda Gates says they've known Buffett since 1991 and look forward to working with him.
Bill and I are absolutely honored and humbled by Warren's gift. It's really unprecedented in terms of what we can do to do good in the world, and it's something that we take very seriously.
Well, the foundation works on global health and education. 2 weeks ago, Bill Gates announced he'll be leaving his full-time position at Microsoft so he can work more with the foundation. Patty Lane, Seattle.
Denver authorities say they're confident the shooter involved in Sunday's incident at a Safeway distribution center is 22-year-old Michael Ford. One person was killed and five people were wounded. Police Chief Jerry Whitman says they believe Ford was acting alone and there's no further danger to employees at the facility.
The suspect fired 16 rounds that we can find throughout the investigation. Six of them were at the Metro officers when they confronted him. The Metro officers involved in the confrontation fired 17 rounds and the suspect was hit seven times. And he died as a result of those injuries.
Whitman says one officer shot in the hip has undergone surgery to repair his leg that was broken by the gunfire. Police say a motive is unclear, but his family told reporters that he was tired of being teased about his Muslim religion. Moscow has become the most expensive city in the world in which to live. That's according to the latest ranking by Mercer Human Resources Consulting, which saw the Russian capital leap in front of Tokyo and London in the previous rankings to take the top spot. The cost of living there has surged to be 25% higher than New York City. It's Black Music Month, set aside to recognize African-American musicians who have enriched the American public. And this year, the focus is on jazz and blues as a tribute to the survivors of Hurricane Katrina. It brought several artists to the White House Monday, including jazz trumpeter Irvin Mayfield, whose father died in the New Orleans flooding. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
We're back. I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy. Welcome all of you truth seekers out there. That's you, isn't it? Listening on Air America Radio. We love Mike. We love you. We're glad to be here. We'll be with you all week sitting in for Mike, who's getting a very well-deserved break. But boy, did he miss a fun night tonight. Rush Limbaugh, oh, it's just, you couldn't make this stuff up. Detained for hours at the Palm Beach airport because they found a bottle of prescription drugs with the name of the doctor, not him, on the label. And now they're saying, this news story is developing, now they're saying it was Viagra. On the one hand, they're going to say, well, that's not so important. On the other hand, you know, finding a doctor to give you a prescription, not in your name, but in theirs, that's a violation. It's a violation of the law. It's called doctor shopping. Finding variety of doctors to get overlapping pill prescriptions. Deceiving doctors, perhaps. Getting them to give him drugs that, they don't know the other guy's already prescribing. And then there's the Viagra. He's coming back from the Dominican Republic. I don't know. Rush Limbaugh has got a story on his hands here that Mike could have been having a lot of fun with. Ay, ay, ay. And this is the guy, what, you've got the Bill Bennett, the moralist, is a gambler. You've got Limbaugh, the crackdown on crime guy, is a violator even of his own parole agreement. He copped a plea, 3 months ago, saying that he would clean up his act. You've got nothing but hypocrisy on the GOP side of our government. You've got nothing but hypocrites. They accuse others of cutting and running. They're cutting deals to get troops out, even as they're trashing Democrats for talking about such a thing. You've got them talking about democracy in Afghanistan and the Middle East. Meanwhile, when it comes to votes and counting the votes right here at home, well, as you just heard in the last hour in Ohio, they did everything they could not to actually abide by voter cast results. Everything they could. And we've got the ballots to show it right there on our website. You can check it out at radionation.org. Ballots where how many of you do you think would line up all night to vote? And don't forget, it was raining in Ohio in 2004 on election night. It was raining. It was cold. It was wet. How many people do you think would line up for hours to cast a ballot and then only punch for Bush? And then what about those 10,000 who punched for Bush and also for gay marriage? Or for Bush and for the liberal progressive black judge from across the state that didn't have a buck to campaign on? How likely does that sound to you? Well, there's another story we're going to talk about in this hour, and before we go to our guests, I'll take some of your calls. It has to do with that San Diego race to replace imprisoned former Representative Randy Duke Cunningham. The Republicans, as you know, were all over this race. It was super important to show that, that the GOP wasn't going to take a dive on the corruption front. It was super important for them to show that even in face of Republican corruption scandals, rotten approval ratings, Hurricane Katrina, and the public general disgust around President Bush, that the Republican Party could still hold it together and get their guy elected in San Diego, Brian Bilbray. Well, that's exactly what they did. And the LA Times on Sunday ran a story about how this is all just more evidence of how the Republican Party, quote, holds the lead in the art and science of obtaining power. And what do they mean by that? They mean that in the last days before the election, Democrats appeared to be ahead when it came to absentee ballots. Not only were voters, you know, disgusted with corruption in the GOP leadership and the scandal that has come to associate San Diego County with the worst kind of corrupt government, but more absentee ballots were being submitted by Democratic voters than Republicans, and you know that because they come in early. Well, apparently, according to the LA Times, quote, jolted to life, the GOP machinery revved into high gear, and activists poured into the district. Now, we're not just talking about local folks. We're talking about, apparently, scores of activists who got plane tickets from around the country to come to San Diego to find people who, according to the party's computer database, had requested absentee ballots but hadn't yet submitted them. They went out and knocked on doors, called them on the phone. Suddenly, look at that. The GOP turned around and came out with 10,000 more Republican than Democratic absentee ballots. An extra 10,000, suddenly materialized in a matter of days. Now, as I said, the LA Times is saying, well, this just goes to show that the Democratic strategy isn't really working and it doesn't look good for November. Even in face of scandals, the Republicans can hold their edge. What it goes to show to a lot of people in San Diego is that something very shady happened. And they've got real questions because they know, among other things, you had poll worker volunteers, taking the voting machines home overnight. You had who knows what happening to those machines while they were outside of the precinct. Are we looking at a story of just superior GOP know-how? Or are we looking at something else? A lot of people in California believe we're looking at something else, and they're organizing public hearings to take place tomorrow and the next day. They're in LA, they're in San Diego. We'll give you all the information. And we'll hear from Mimi Kennedy, who is working with Progressive Democrats of America on this very story. She'll be with us a little bit later in this hour. But first, let's take some calls. Let's hear from, let's go back for a second to Michelle in San Diego. We'll get your question and then we'll give it on to Mimi when she's here. Michelle, welcome to the program. Welcome back, I should say. I cut you off before, but I think you'll agree it was worth it to let Bob Fitrakis wrap up.
Well, I have to say first, I wish I was in San Diego. I'm actually in San Antonio. but I'm a California voter, and I vote absentee from Texas. There's so much to talk about, but I will just try to keep it simple. You mentioned the machines that went home with the precinct captains. They're Diebold machines. They've been proven to be very hackable without leaving a trace. And this is a tremendously Republican district, CA 50. And,
So my question is, what do you think we should do? I mean, this is the question. What do you think we should do? You're in San Antonio, but you know this story. You're dealing with Diebold machines. In San Diego, they're saying, you know what? We give up. We've done everything we've been told to do. We've done it all the legal ways. We've organized. We've mobilized. We've registered more voters than ever before. We've done everything we were told to do. It just doesn't work. Now we're being told that our only solution lies in appealing to the Republican Secretary of State, who hates us, and get him to try to listen to our complaints. It's not going to happen.
Well, I actually think that the mainstream media needs to get a cattle prod right up the butt, because this is a big story. I mean, this is a big story, not just this one. I mean, all these goopers. And you know what? They don't have activists. They have thugs and payoffs. That's what they do. We have activists, the Democrats, the progressives, the independents. We're the ones that are activists. And this, I think that the only thing that people listen to is the mainstream media. And they have been asleep. I mean, that's a story in itself. But they have been absolutely asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, you know what happened in Ohio? Bupkus. They saw that the exit polls were reading... We already know Tony Blair in the UK went to bed that night. They're different time zone ahead of us. Went to bed thinking they were about to make a relationship, strike up a conversation with a John Kerry presidency. By the time the results were finally certified, and they were the opposite from what the exit polls had suggested, you had TV network anchors just saying, oh, well, we must have been wrong. So much for that. If this was Ukraine, you would have had thousands of people in the streets. In Ukraine, U.S. officials from the State Department said there was something wrong when the exit polls were so different from the final certified result. And the irony in the United States was the correlation between the places where there was a variation between the exit polls and the certified results was even tighter than it was in the Ukraine. You had... Well, we had no Velvet Revolution here yet. Maybe we've got it in the works. But you had in this country vast difference, not everywhere. You had like a 10-point difference in places where Bush came out ahead where he didn't in the exit polls. When Kerry came out ahead, it was more or less 2 points, 3 points within what the exit polls would have suggested. You have not got an expert out there these days who doesn't say, who hasn't looked at this stuff and say that there's a problem, and yet the media just sat on it. You're completely right. And tonight, looking at this LA Times article, I'd say we're in for a rerun. Can we wait for anyone else to do it? No, we got to do it ourselves. There are meetings tomorrow and the next day in LA and San Diego. I'll tell you all about it when we come back. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Thanks, Michelle, for the call. And, you know, they'd have you in San Diego, I bet, if you wanted to go up there. All right, thanks for the call. We'll be right back. You're listening to Air America Radio. I'm Laura Flanders. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Now, I don't know anybody that likes ants. That's why you need to know about Amdro AntBlock. AntBlock keeps ants out of your house, and it wipes them out where they live, outside. Just sprinkle Amdro AntBlock around the foundation of your home. You see, AntBlock's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, even the queen. Amdro AntBlock. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
We want hot pie. All right, I'm Laura Flanders. You're listening to Air America Radio. Mike's taking a break. I'm sitting in, and we're having, a pretty outrageous night tonight. We're talking about the Republicans' version of cut and run. They like to, run for office and cut out the voters. And that seems to be exactly what they're getting away with. We've actually been talking about two town hall meetings that are going to be looking into election violations in the Busbee-Bilbray race there in the California's 50th congressional district. You've heard all about it. The Republicans were so relieved that their candidate didn't lose, even though, voters seem to be pretty embarrassed about having a congressman who is actually now in jail for corruption. Republicans managed to win. Well, how did they do it? That's the question. There are a whole lot of doubts being cast now on exactly what happened in that race. You had ballot boxes taken home overnight by poll workers. You have a news story about last-minute turning out of 10,000 absentee voters to cast absentee ballots. There's a whole lot of rather dubious looking stuff that's gone down, and there are two town hall meetings happening this week in California, one in LA on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, and one in San Diego Wednesday. And I believe we have one of the coordinators for one of those events with us on the line from Oceanside. Jeannie, welcome to the program. Glad to have you.
Hi.
Tell us what's going to happen.
Well, I'm Jeannie Crescenzo, and I'm a candidate for Congress in the 49th District, which is here in Oceanside, and is San Diego County and Riverside County. So I was part of the election on the 6th, the same as the 50th District. And I was out there going around to polling places as a roving poll monitor, and I saw an awful lot of sloppiness. Just the general disregard for protecting the integrity of our vote.
Well, what do you mean specifically?
Well, one of the things was I found out about that those machines had gone home with the poll workers. One little old lady had said to me, I had to walk three blocks with these machines. And I said, well, what do you mean? Don't they deliver the machines? And she said, no, I brought them home with me when I went to training 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it's so insane. And that is under the law supposed to make them completely illegal for use.
It's ridiculous. I went to the Registrar of Voters office the following Friday to find out what was going on. And as a candidate, I have a lot more access maybe than some people do.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cooperative. They answered my questions, but I was even more disturbed. Michael Haas, who is the Registrar of Voters, in talking about these machines going home, and my concern is that this time there was just a scanner, and each polling place had one of the touchscreen machines. Actually, it's two machines. One makes a card, and the other is a touchscreen machine. And they were only being used for handicapped people. So there was very little usage of those machines, but the scanners were in every polling place. And so in November, they're planning on us just having touchscreen machines. So that means that there will be maybe five or six or more of these machines at each polling place. And these are going to be going home with the poll workers. So I said to him, how can we do this? I mean, there has to be a better way to do this. And he said, well, this is all new to me. I just learned a new word, drayage. And I'm thinking to myself, what right do we have to use these machines if we can't figure out how to get them to the polling place in a secure manner? So I am so outraged by this lack of respect for the integrity of our vote that as a candidate, and I'm in a great position to raise this thing because I was the only Democratic candidate on the ticket for my primary, so I won by 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can say I'm a sore loser.
That's right.
All right? This is the time for me to stand up and say, and I'm the only candidate that I know of that's doing this.
Well, Jeannie, I want to thank you for doing that. There in the 49th District, Congressional candidate Jeannie Crescenzo. I hope that the meeting is a huge success on Wednesday. One of the big questions will be, well, what will come out of it? What do you want people to do? We've got about 30 seconds.
We need to generate public awareness of what's going on. So there'll be a big rally at the Civic Center Library in the plaza at 6 o'clock, and then we're having a town hall meeting at 7 o'clock at the community rooms in the Oceanside Library Civic Center.
And then the question is, consciousness is raised, then what? What do we do?
You know, I'm hoping that we have some great speakers, that they have some suggestions. My original idea would be to try to push everybody to do 100% absentee ballot, to refuse to use those machines.
Interesting.
But now I'm finding out the absentee ballot system is just...
That's a problem, too. All right. Thanks so much for calling, Jeannie. Well, we will ask Mimi Kennedy what to do, too. We won't stop asking that question until we come up with a good answer. Stay tuned. You're listening to Air America Radio. We'll be right back.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
Summer's here, and that means lots of disgusting little ants marching through your yard and into your home. Used to be almost impossible to get rid of them, but not anymore. Now there's Grant's Ant Stakes, and they're guaranteed to work. Grant's Ant Stakes are different. They contain a unique baiting system that ants simply can't resist. They eat the bait, they share it with the rest of the colony, and they all die. Total colony elimination. Grant's kills ants. Guaranteed. Look for Grant's at your favorite stores, and take control.
We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show. Because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
We'll say anything. I'm Laura Flanders. You're listening to Air America Radio, and I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy. On tomorrow's program, did I hear someone say God? We'll have Fred Clarkson with us. Frederick Clarkson is one of the premier followers of the religious right, which is not to say that he lines up behind them. I mean, he can tell you what they're up to. And they are up to theocracy right here in our lifetimes. And Fred's got the dirt. So he'll be our guest at least for part of the program, and we'll see what else we've got playing out for the rest of the night. This evening we're talking about what's happened to our democracy. If tomorrow we'll talk about what happened to secularism, today we'll talk about what happened to voting. We've been talking about Ohio. We've already talked about the Supreme Court and Vermont. We've got with us on the line, I believe, from Los Angeles, Mimi Kennedy, a well-known actress, but chair of Progressive Democrats of America. She is one of the many tonight who are riled up because of what happened in the 50th district there in California in this Francine Busby, Brian Bilbray, say that million times fast, race. What we're talking about is the race for the seat formerly held by convicted corruption felon Duke Cunningham. It was a race that everybody was watching. It was a race that was going to take the temperature of the nation. The Republican came out smiling, saying, look, even when the nation is concerned about corruption and scandals, even when the president's poll numbers are in the toilet, we can win. The question is, how did they do it? And what's emerged in the days and weeks since the June 6th election is that you had poll workers taking voting machines home for overnight days before the election. You had in the last few days a new story about volunteers from the GOP, probably from D.C. itself, sort of like 2000 where they went down to Florida. Well, in this case, it looks like they went out to San Diego and miraculously in the last hours of the race turned up 10,000 absentee voters and came out ahead on absentee votes, where 5 days before the race, they'd been lagging behind the Democrats. Mimi Kennedy did everything she could working in that race and others this June. And, well, I don't think it's saying too much to say you're tearing some of your hair out tonight. Is that right, Mimi?
I am pretty frustrated, Laura. I don't know what you do when your officials can disobey their own laws with impunity. I think citizens' arrest, I guess. But,
well, we keep asking what to do, and maybe citizens' arrest is the way to go. Now, there are going to be meetings happening tomorrow and the next day. We just heard from Jeannie, who's going to be convening the meeting in San Diego. There's one in L.A. tomorrow night. But back up just a minute and tell us how, to you and your colleagues, this story shifted with this very long report that came out in the L.A. Times, the headline, The GOP Knows You Don't Like Anchovies, which had to do with just how smart their voter database is.
Yes, exactly. They have a lot of very interesting, what would you call them, print bites from that story. Over and over, they talk about the technical expertise of the Republican Party with their databases. But I read between the lines there, and they go, if their technical expertise is so good with their databases, then why are activists tinfoil hatted if they feel that regulations meant to mitigate a technical security hole in a voting machine, that we're somehow being too paranoid to think that someone could technically tamper with a machine? It's the frosting on the cake. This article that came out in the Los Angeles Times is what I now recognize as typical of what happens when people start to question elections. Immediately the story is put out to the press, and the press unfortunately gladly carries it, and it says, your guys just aren't as good as our guys. We just have better activists. The word activist usually means in the Democratic Party unpaid volunteers. What's with you can field enough activists 4 days before an election in Washington to fly them all out to San Diego County, where they spend 3 days? If they got 10,000 absentee voters, that was 3,000 voters a day. I don't know who answers their door in San Diego on a weekend, you know, much less have their absentee ballot in hand going, oh, yes, I'll fill it out now and give it to you. I just forgot. That's a lot of activists, and I just find that story to be a kind of a PR that says don't question, you know, that Republican Party. They're just so good, and maybe they do have really good voter databases and they know how to scour them, but if so, then they also have the voting machine companies with very friendly Republican contributors, and we are right to question when, in this case, the federal regulations issued on an emergency basis March 22nd to cover the well-publicized Diebold security hole were completely ignored by the registrar of San Diego County.
Now, it doesn't take a genius to notice when a poll worker is taking a voting machine home, and that the taking of voting machines home, away from the polling station, is illegal. That doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Well, Lara, I'll play devil's advocate. Not that I'm casting aspersions on who the devil is for the moment, but let me just say that Michael Haas did note that it's not the elections fairy that parachutes machines in to a polling place at 6 a.m., all ready to go.
Now, that's Mike Ross, the registrar of the votes.
It, you know, requires poll workers, but mm-hmm. in this case, there was supposed to be security, one might presume a locked room, with log-in, log-out access to prove the chain of custody from the time the memory cards were programmed to the time the ballot box, which is this Diebold machine, was opened. That, being in your car for a week, or in your garage for a week, or in your living room, or God knows where for a week, with God knows, you know, who coming in and out, is not that kind of log-in, log-out access. But I think in the old days that polling machines did go home with the poll workers who then, you know, got up at 4 in the morning and got it to the polling place. But we have a different situation now with this software. It is hackable. It's well-publicized. And the National Association of State Elections Directors, which is the aggregate secretaries of state, which had the power because the Election Assistance Commission of HAVA wasn't yet up and running. So NASED had the power to issue these directives, and they went, oh, my God, we have to do something because this is hackable stuff. These machines have to be in a secure place. They didn't say literally lock and key, but in a secure place with log-in, log-out access, and the registrar must watch that chain of custody, and it must be secure. And Michael Haas basically said, too hard, couldn't do it, couldn't follow it. And I must say that I even spoke to somebody in the Secretary of State's office who went, well, what would you do, Mimi? These are very difficult for a registrar to follow.
Aww.
And all I could think of was, that's why we've been trooping to Sacramento for a year and a half, telling you don't certify Diebold machines. They are too difficult to take care of, and then you guarantee the accuracy of. But they didn't listen to us. So then now they don't follow their directives. What are we to do?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? And one of the things you're doing is holding meetings tomorrow night and the night after. The question is, what do you want to come out of those meetings, and what are people to do? I mean, as you've just described it, there were hundreds of organized folks on your side trying to take the truth to these elections officials and say, this is not going to be imaginable. These machines are not reliable. This is not the way we should treat our votes. They were completely ignored. You were completely ignored. And then after the fact, they come back and say, this was unmanageable. We couldn't handle it. We couldn't even obey our own directives.
That's exactly where we are. So
what do people
do? You know,
do?
The Republicans used to be the law and order people. I remember back in the 70s, that was the way Nixon used to get elected when he wasn't very popular, because people would go, you know, yeah, law and order, that's right. We need law and order. Nobody's above the law. You know, ironically, of course, Nixon was the one who had to leave because he was above the law, or felt that he was. And here we have, where's obeying the elections laws? That's what we're testing, and we're trying to get lawyers to weigh in. We hope that we'll have a lawyer. As you know, there are many, Voter Action has a lawsuit against these Diebold, particularly, machines, but it will be other DREs, touchscreen machines as being inappropriate. But of course, this is software. There is a paper ballot. And, you know, elections officials here in California, when they talk to activists about software and they argue for it, they always say, there's a paper ballot. Don't worry, there's a paper ballot. Okay, well, it's still a paper ballot can be scanned and the vote can shift. It can be scanned wrong. You can count those little marks all wrong.
Right, as we just heard in Ohio.
We don't know if the remedy will be to count the paper. We just want to know what happens when you run an illegal election on uncertified software.
What exactly do they have in mind for this November? I mean, what I would love to hear is what would happen if, black Democrats in Alabama decided that they were going to run their elections in the way that these folks did there in California's 50th, that they were going to have democratically inclined African-American poll watchers in Alabama take those machines home with them. I think we would have a fraud investigation like white on rice, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, that's one of the questions we have to constantly ask ourselves. Is one group being treated differently than any other group would in any other place? Mimi Kennedy's with us on the line. You can get more information at pdamerica.org. That's pdamerica.org, Progressive Democrats of America. We'll get more when we come back, and we'll give you all the details about these public hearings tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow in L.A., Wednesday in San Diego. There's a website for that, too. It's all at the website, and I'll give you more information when we get back. Check out where we're blogging and streaming at RadioNation.org. Just follow the links to the blog. I'm Laura Flanders sitting in for Mike Malloy. The number is 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Thank you.
You're going to be sorry, Mr. Michael Half. Well, I hope so. California's Registrar of Voters. You know, Bruce called in from, or rather emailed me, and you can email me, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at airamericaradio.com. Bruce emailed, why didn't you give the website for Jeannie Crescenzo? And forgive me, Bruce, if that isn't your tone of voice, but Jeannie Crescenzo called us. She's a congressional candidate. We'll find her website if you like, but she called out, so forgive me if I didn't have her website at my fingertips. If you want to sign the petition she's talking about and get more information about the town hall meetings she's hosting Wednesday in San Diego, you can do that at velvetrevolution.us. How about that? Velvetrevolution.us. U.S. And sure, Jeannie has a website. We'll find it. We'll put it on the blog. Just follow the links at radionation.org. You'll find her information right there. Glad you're interested. Mimi Kennedy is with us. She's the chair of Progressive Democrats of America. There will be a meeting tomorrow in L.A. That's Tuesday, June 27th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time at the Venice United Methodist Church, 1020 Victoria. It's a meeting you need to attend if you're worried about, A, what happened in the Busby-Bilbray race there in the 50th District of California, and B, if you're worried about what might happen statewide in November. Mimi, one of the things we're very concerned about is sort of the envelope is being pushed here. People are being tested. What are they going to tolerate? What are they going to accept? It's pretty obvious, doesn't take too much to understand that there's probably a problem with hackable voting machines being taken home by poll workers and kept there in an unsecure situation overnights for days before the election. It almost feels to me as if we are being tested for how much we will sit back and take.
Laura?
Yeah?
So what I want to keep emphasizing is that the sort of no-brainer aspect of it is that the voting machines are hackable and they ought to be kept secure. We actually are past that now because we did get new federal directives, and it says in this March 22nd letter that issued them, Sandra Steinbeck, the chair of the National Association of State Elections Directors, the last sentence is, failure to follow these regulations will result in the decertification. It will result in nullify the federal qualification of these machines for certification. Once you lose your federal qualifications, you can't have state certification. Once you have a decertified voting system, it is illegal to run an election on it. So what we have here is not, gee, they shouldn't have. It's, this was illegal,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we've got is this the wild, wild west? Hello?
Well, that's what I mean by the test.
Yeah.
That it's almost as if we're being pushed to see how much, how blatant they can get without folks literally doing what they did in Ukraine, taking to the streets.
Well, sue me, what can you do me? Yeah. they're already being sued, but you know what? I don't think that the people interested in cheating in elections care much about being sued. If they can send party activists overnight out to California to the tune of getting 10,000 votes in 3 days, by the way, I still find that hard to believe that that's what actually happened, but the money is no object. What they're looking at is November.
No, what I meant was people in the streets, not in the suits, the lawsuits, but the streets. We need to make it unmanageable for them to continue business as usual, don't we?
And most people are working. I don't know what life is like in the Ukraine, and I don't know how many highways they have. But in California, people are 45 miles away from each other, and they have jobs, and they need child care, you know, and the kids are at colleges in various states. It's not that easy for Americans. We do have to get in the streets, but damn, we have supposedly a constitution and a legal system, and right now what we're trying to do is get some people to step up and use it. Either that or we all admit it's the wild, wild west, and yeah, then I guess we have to go in the streets, but I don't know what the November election means if every registrar can do whatever they want and there are activists poised to come out and help with the election at the drop of a hat if it looks like someone other than the designated Republican, in this case, is going to win it.
Mm.
So but the high tech emphasis is where I think we really have to worry. It's so easy to steal it in a machine.
Has anyone had a chance to look yet at these absentee ballots? Just going back to those for a minute.
Well, I think that's the next thing is now that we have this story, sure, people have got to go look and see when the absentee ballots were counted and what kind of spike there might have been. Were there really 10,000 votes for Bilbray that came in the last 3 days and were on the top of that pile and were either counted first or counted last, depending on how they stack them?
Good question.
Can we get that? I'm sure, as I say, somebody will ask the registrar voter at this point, yeah, I'm sure this registrar, with all of this hue and cry, he's really interested in giving us clean data right away. I mean, so you end up in a catch-22, but we're doing all we can. Activists are pouring in, so to speak, although without the $280 plane tickets that we... You know, how can a travel agent get that many plane tickets on an afternoon in Washington, D.C.? They must have really good help, is all I can say.
Well, they were probably using Rush Limbaugh's private jet.
You know what? I'd like to know about that.
Well, and he got some drugs to go along with that jet, too, by the sound of it. Listen, Amy, thank you so much. Let's remind folks, Tuesday, that's tomorrow, June 27th, 7:30, Venice United Methodist Church, 1020 Victoria, there in L.A. Be there, find out more. Brad Friedman will be there from BradBlog. Mimi will be there from Progressive Democrats of America. Marcy Winograd will be there. Maybe your chance to give her a pat on the back. And Jeannie, who we heard from earlier from the 49th, Crescenzo, is that right, Mimi?
Crescenzo
will be there hosting the meeting in San Diego. That's Wednesday. So there's a Tuesday meeting, there's a Wednesday meeting. Wednesday is at Oceanside Civic Center, 7 o'clock. Thanks, everybody, for listening tomorrow, and thank you, Mimi, for being with us. Tomorrow, right here on Mike Malloy's program, I'll be sitting in again, and we'll be joined by Fred Clarkson. We'll talk about the advance of the religious right and theocracy in this country, and how can we defend secularism. We'll have some other surprises for you, too. It's going to be a great night. Have a great day in the meantime. Stay tuned. You're listening to Air America Radio. A whole lot more coming up on these stations right after this. I'm Laura Flanders. Stay tuned. Thanks a lot.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Randy Rhodes, and I think it's time we got serious about peace. Thousands of Iraqis and U.S. soldiers are suffering every day in a senseless war in Iraq. So Independence Day, hundreds of moms are going to put their own bodies on the line in a historic hunger strike against the war, organized by Code Pink. They're going to Washington, D.C. to eat their last meal on July 3rd at 5 o'clock in front of the White House. But you can fast wherever you are in your own community. All the info is at troopshomefast.org. Troopshomefast.org.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.